I'll read in English. The scripture is Luke 24:1-11. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them.
ルカの福音書24章1節から11節。週の初めの日の明け方早く、女たちは準備しておいた香料を持って墓に着いた。見ると石が墓から脇に転がしてあった。入ってみると主イエスの体はなかった。そのため女たちが途方に暮れていると、見よ、まばゆいばかりの衣を着た二人の人が、女たちの近くに来た。恐ろしくなって地面に顔を伏せていると、その人たちはこう言った。あなた方はなぜ生きている方を死人の中で探すのですか。ここにはおられません。よみがえられたのです。まだガリアラにおられた頃、お話になったことを思い出しなさい。人の子は必ず罪人らの手に引き渡され、十字架につけられ、三日目によみがえられなければならないと言われたでしょう。女たちはイエスの御言葉を思い出した。そして墓から戻って、11弟子とその他の人たち全部に一部始終を報告した。この女たちはマグダラのマリアとヨハンナとヤコブの母マリアと出会った。彼女たちと一緒にいた他の女たちもこのことを人たちに話した。ところが人たちはこの話はたわごとと思われたので、彼らは女たちを信用しなかった。
Good morning again.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Oh my gosh, were you guys just not even listening this morning? Okay, so we say he is risen, and the proper response is he is risen indeed. I'm going to need your help today. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Today we're going to look at the resurrection. It's Resurrection Sunday. And I chose Luke's account. All four gospel has account of Jesus' resurrection. Of course, it is, I guess, the reason why the gospels were written. It wasn't just simply meant to be written for to learn about a man, although that is one of its purposes. But the central reason, I believe, for these gospels is the resurrection. That is the climax of the story, the resurrection. And as we look, today's passage is the day he rose from the grave. But just imagine what it must have felt like for the disciples. The day Jesus was crucified. And those days leading up to the resurrection. Imagine for a moment what they were feeling. Physically, they were probably just sick to their stomach. Heavy, numb. You know, mentally, they were probably disillusioned, confused, and emotionally depressed, angry, sad, anxious, and spiritually probably just empty. Have you ever felt that before? Felt that way? You know, these disciples of Jesus, if you recall their story, some of them, they were fishermen, tax collectors, filled with demons, and a man came and said, come follow me. And in a 3-year span, we see Jesus teaching some of the most amazing Bible wisdom and knowledge that no one's ever heard before. The miracles, you know, the multiplication of bread, the turning water into wine, the walking on water, healing the blind, the lepers, the sick, even raising people from the dead. All of these miracles, imagine for a moment being there, witnessing it, and sometimes even being participants of it. For 3 years, hearing him teach, seeing these miracles, but even being part of the mocking and the persecution. You know, Jesus' life wasn't all just simple and pleasant. He went through persecution. They mocked him. They called him names. And the disciples were with them the entire time. They were there when they were hiding from some of the religious leaders who wanted to kill them. He was rejected in some places, even after miracles. Even hearing about the miracles, they would go to some places and they would say, Jesus, leave our region. And some of the disciples got so mad and upset, they said, Jesus, should we throw down fire on these people? And Jesus was like, you know, don't you guys get it? All of that history, all of those promises, Jesus' central teaching was about a kingdom. And he was saying, this kingdom is coming, this kingdom is near, this kingdom is within. This kingdom is at hand. And these disciples were like, man, I can't wait. I can't wait for this kingdom to come. I can't wait for Jesus to be king. And some of the other disciples were like, I can't wait till I become the right-hand man of the king. You know, they wanted the power and the glory and all these other things that come with that position. But all of that comes to an abrupt end. After 3 years of anticipation, and they were probably thinking, now it's time. The week before his crucifixion, they went into Jerusalem and they were received with praise and adoration. Hosanna, Hosanna. They sang and praised his name. And the disciples were finally thinking, it is time. We're going to finally be in the position where Jesus was talking about in his kingdom. We're going to sit at his right hand, his left hand, and you know, no more fishes for us. We're going to start eating the good stuff. I don't know. And then, all of a sudden, he is betrayed. There is a mockery of a trial that finds him guilty. Guilty enough to be crucified, capital punishment on a cross. The disciples see all of this unfold as he's beaten, mocked, put on a cross. And I don't know what they were thinking. They were probably thinking, okay, Elijah's going to come pretty soon. Elijah's going to come and rescue him. Something miraculous is going to happen. God is going to break through the heavens and angels are going to come down. He's going to come off that cross and he's going to flex on everyone and
people are going to start running, and there's just going to be all this, it's going to be crazy, it's going to be epic. Maybe some of them were thinking and believing until the end, but he actually dies. Jesus actually dies. They buried him. First night passes. Second night passes. I could imagine these disciples feeling at the least broken, right? A traumatic experience like this will leave anyone broken. It will leave anyone just depressed, angry, jaded. I believe Thomas may have become agnostic for a minute, or maybe an atheist at worst, because he was like, you know, unless I see it, I don't believe anything. I don't believe anything you say. Good for Thomas. And good for the disciples. They all were shook. Trauma like that will lead anyone into needing professional help. Needing therapy. They probably all needed therapy. You know, I don't know if that was a thing back then, but certainly trauma like that will lead anyone broken, needing help. And these disciples, they were human. They probably needed help. The truth is, you know, life, when life happens, these things come with life. And I guess, you know, sometimes the church, of course, we promote love and health and, you know, put on a good face and all these other things. But the reality is, we are broken people. Life will lead you broken. There is a saying that the darkest hour is just before dawn. You guys heard that before, right? I'm sure that's what the disciples needed to hear that day. Hey, don't worry, the darkest hour is before dawn. I don't know if that's literally true. Is it literally true? Is that true?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes. You know, I was trying to look that up online and say, is that really true? And, you know, there's all these debates going on up there. It's like, well, you know, sometimes it's not. It depends where the moon is, because sometimes the moon is under the horizon and the sun, while the sun's not up. So it is, you know, they're all going back and forth. But the point is, though, when that saying, the darkest hours before, is that things often seems to be worse before they get better. You know, that's not always the case. That's not always the case, right? You know, some people, they just don't recover. It just doesn't happen. It's a good saying. It's a good thing to hold on to for hope. Not always the case. And it's not always the case because I believe sometimes we as human, we put our hope and trust in the wrong place, the wrong person, wrong thing. Fortunately for these disciples, they put their hopes in this man named Jesus. And after 3 days, the worst experience that anyone could go through, something miraculous happens. Perhaps the greatest miracle Jesus performs. Verse 4, it says, while they were perplexed about this, two men stood by them. And these are the women that came to anoint Jesus' body, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their face to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." I love that line. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That's such an epic line. It's like a line that you'd find in Lord of the Rings or something like that. Why do you seek the living among the dead? It's a great line. But the empty tomb speaks of a risen Savior. His resurrection was not simply spiritual, symbolic. You know, it wasn't meant to just tell a moral story, you know, keep your head up kind of thing. But God raised Jesus' body from the dead, and I believe, and it seems like it was his actual body that was raised and transformed into his resurrected body. It was sort of like a seed being planted and raising up into a tree. There's so much here to be impacted. You know, where do you start? Do you start with the angels or the dazzling apparel, or, you know, where would you start with this? But the point of this is that his body was not in the tomb. That he actually rose from the dead. And the hope is one day you and I will have a resurrected body as well if we place our trust and faith in Jesus. And with this trust and faith, there's a promise of an otherworldly body, and that we will partake in an otherworldly kingdom, a kingdom not of this world. Just as much as these angels were not part of this world, just as much as rising from the dead is not part of this world, it will be a part of this world where things that are of this world will not be there anymore. There will be no more sin, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more depression, no more war, no more poverty, no more injustice, manipulation, exploitation, slavery. Amen. All through Jesus' ministry, he was talking about these things. First shall be last, the last shall be first. He promised of a better place, of a better life, of a better world. He promised all of these things, and they have yet to come. As great as Tucson, Arizona is, heaven has not yet come. Now, as great as America is, as great as probably, you know, some of our comforts are, the world we live in, the world we're part of, there is a greater one to come. Far greater. Far greater. His kingdom is not of this world. Our bodies will not be of this world. We will no longer feel the pain of decay and death. You guys feel that? Oh my gosh, every day I feel that. Yesterday, I was playing basketball. I like basketball. I like playing basketball. And I'm 41 now. And I don't know when this happened, but I forgot how to run. I just, you know, I trot now, you know? That's the fastest I go. And literally, it's really, you know, so, I don't know, there's a science to running, I guess. I'm not, like, mastered it or anything. But, so when you jog, your legs go this way, right? Here, let me show you guys. So, when you're jogging, you want a longer stride, so your legs go this way, you know? When you're running, it's supposed to go up and down. And the faster, like, your feet touches the ground, the faster you'll go, like this. And then the faster you pump your arms, the more momentum. And so, when I was younger, and I learned how to run, I was kind of fast. I was quick. You know, it's a basketball court, so it's not that long, so it's not like a 100-meter dash. Thank God, because last time I did a 100-meter, I couldn't even finish the 100-meter. It was like, after like 50, I was like, okay. Well, it was like, I didn't know this thing was that long, but, yeah, anyways. Like, I forgot how to run. And so yesterday, I was on the basketball field, and I'm trying to, like, relearn how to run because my leg, they just don't go this way no more. They just go like this. It just wants to go this way. It's like, no, go this way. And it hurts. You know, there's pain. And my greatest hope is that one day it won't be there. No, just kidding. My greatest hope is one day I'll be able to run again. But, one day our bodies will be healed. Amen. The older you are, the louder that amen should get, you know. But one day our bodies will heal. We'll have a resurrected body. An actual body. A body that's no longer riddled with sin. In a world which is no longer contaminated by sin. In a world where the king values love, justice, mercy, grace. And I believe that's what the gospel is about, the good news. It's about a man named Jesus Christ who came with this message of hope, love, joy, peace, a message of there is a God, there is a creator, and this creator is filled with love. I am the actual representation of that creator, and I want you to know that this God has more for you that you're mind could even imagine. And these are good things. And on that day, when he died, it seemed like that promise was broken. But 3 days later, on that resurrection Sunday, the promise is on the table again. And that promise is for you and I. It says, and they remembered his words. These women, they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tales, and they did not believe them. Now, of course, there's several reasons why they wouldn't believe them. Their society, their culture, they didn't value a woman's testimony, for one thing. Another thing, it just sounds crazy. You know, it doesn't matter if it was guys telling them. It just sounds crazy. Like, what are you talking about? it just doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's not cogent. It's just, you guys aren't being, what are you talking about? The body's not there. If you read on later, other news sources will start saying, the disciples came and stole the body, you know? The Jerusalem Times were like, the disciples came and stole the body. And word for word, the Roman government, the official Roman government, were saying, the disciples came and stole the body. And so there was other news sources. Both the political and the religious news sources, both were saying, the disciples came and stole the body. And with all of this news swirling around, of course they're going to be like, just, you guys are crazy. What are you guys talking about? This doesn't make sense. It's just, you guys are making stuff up. You guys are just making stuff up now. Of course, we know that they would actually come to believe. Thomas would eventually believe. Thomas, the agnostic or the atheist, and Thomas, he went from a believer to an unbeliever back to a believer. It's just crazy with Thomas, but he believed. They all believed. They all came to believe. This small band of believers took this message, and now thousands of miles away, thousands of years away, I believe. There are some here who believe. I don't know where you are at personally. I don't know if all of this seems like idle tales to you. But I think it's worth looking into. Is this something that is worth putting my faith and trust in? I believe if you do, then for you and I that do believe, it holds true that the darkest hour is just before dawn. No matter how hard things get, there is hope. And even in the face of death, there is life. Some of us here today, we are looking for the living among the dead. You will not find eternal satisfaction in this world. You will not find what you are looking for among the dead. The living is not among the dead. If you want life, eternal life, it is in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. The psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." I pray if there's anyone in here who has not tasted your goodness, who has not seen your goodness, Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself in such a way, Lord, that will produce faith. I believe there are some of you here today that may be considering these things. Are these idle tales? Or is it true that there is a resurrection? If you are in that position, I encourage you to just say a simple prayer. And that prayer is this. It's just simple. Jesus, if you are real, would you reveal yourself to me? Jesus, if you're real, would you just reveal yourself to me? Father, I thank you so much for this day that we could celebrate your resurrection. A day of hope, Lord. I do pray, Lord, that you would come soon and you will establish your kingdom. Your kingdom, Lord. The foundations, faith, hope, and love. And love is the greatest foundation of all. I pray, Lord, that you and I, that everyone here, Lord, that you would help us to experience your love, your supernatural love, Lord. Whether it's through one another, or whether it's through your spirit, I pray, Father, that each and every one of us here will in some way experience you. That we would have a touch of love. A glimpse, Lord, of hope. An increase of faith. You are a good God, and there's no one like you. And I ask that you would increase those things in our lives, faith, hope, and love. We thank you so much again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.